are looking at Surah Saba, which is the 34th Surah of the Noble Quran. It is in the 22nd Juz. In this Surah, Allah Rabbi Izzah makes reference to two great Anbiya, alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi Sulaiman and Nabi Dawood, alayhi salatu wasalam, father and son. In our previous session, yesterday, we focused on what Allah had granted Nabi Dawood, or Nabi Sulaiman, alayhi salatu wasalam, in the sense that he was able to travel huge distances. Allah had made for him a spring of molten copper to flow. The jinnat was subjugated to him. With regards to his father, we mentioned that the lead would be turned into melted wax in his hands and he could mold it as he pleased. Continuing to mention the bounties that Allah had conferred upon these two great Anbiya, in particular the son Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Rabbul Izzah says, يَعْمَلُونَ لَهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. And as they pleased, they would construct for him مَا يَشَاءُ مِن مَحَارِيبَ وَتَمَاثِيلَ وَجِفَانٍ كَالْجَوَابِ. They would construct for him mansions, huge homes, وَتَمَاثِيلَ, statues, وَجِفَانٍ, and basins, كَالْجَوَابِ, as large as water tanks, وَقُدُورِ الرَّاسِيَاتِ, and cauldrons firmly placed on the fires, what we would simply say, digs. These are some of the things that these jinnat would make for Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. So there's mention of maharib, the first. There's huge building palaces, some as homes and others as lofty balconies and towers. Statues. These statues were made out of copper, glass and white stone. And we shouldn't take from this, you know, the false meaning that because they made statues, it's now suddenly permissible. These statues have been prohibited clearly in the Noble Quran. And it doesn't mean that it was permissible in a previous nation, it becomes permissible for us. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that those who engage in these type of activities will be amongst those who will be punished in the most severe way on the day of Qiyamah. Furthermore, what else that they made? They made dishes the size of dams and large pots which could not be moved from their place. That is how big it was. And there's the reports that these dishes were so large that 1,000 people ate from one. And the pots were permanent structures which could only be reached. So picture this large pot. It's so big that you can't get in. You need a stairs to climb up to the top. Then you get in and you look down in it. And if the dishes were so large, one can well imagine the size of the pots. Allah had conferred all these favors. Water tanks from copper that was given. And in the end of the verse, Allah Rabbul Izzah then says that اعملوا آل داود شكرا. O household of Dawood, work in displaying your gratitude. Display your express your thanks to Allah. Allah commands Sayyidina Sulaiman and the entire progeny to show the gratitude to Allah Rabbul Izzah. In other words, you should remain grateful for these great bounties and favors. And you shouldn't suffice with verbal gratitude. Rather, you should encourage and you should be engaged in acts whereby your gratitude is showed to Allah. And Allah is the one who grants bounties. But there are very few who are grateful to Allah. And that is why in the end of the verse says, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ إِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. There are very few appreciative servants. And that is why Allah instructs Sayyidina Sulaiman that he should be amongst them. And this was an address to the family and the household of Sayyidina Dawood, specifically because they were granted so much. And it's also a direct address to all of us to try and be from the grateful servants of Allah. It is narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari that the best fast is that of Sayyidina Dawood, who fasted every alternate day. Nabi Salasim said that the Tahajjud Salah of Sayyidina Dawood was the most beloved to Allah. He slept for the first half of the night, performed salah for a third of the night, and then slept again for the remaining quarter of the night. And Sayyidina Dawood used to distribute the hours amongst his family so that someone was engaged in Allah's worship throughout the night. That is how he showed his gratitude to Allah Rabbul Izzah. In so many different ways he engaged in the gratitude to Allah, showing Allah his thank and gratitude for the many favors that Allah had conferred upon him. What had happened after this? The jinnat continued to remain under Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And Sayyidina Sulaiman was renovating Baytul Muqaddas, and he used the jinnat for this. When he learned that his death was near, he showed the plans to the jinnat, which they would follow in renovating Baytul Muqaddas, and then he confined himself to a glass house and engrossed himself in the worship of Allah. It was his habit to seclude himself for several months and engage in worship of Allah, and it was in this state that the angels took his soul away and his blessed corpse remained leaning on the staff. And the jinnat were there, they did not perceive that Sayyidina Sulaiman had passed away. After his death, the jinn continued their work in construction for quite some time. And you can understand, you know, how big this entire structure could have been. Because very often we look at Masjid al-Aqsa, the Marwani Masjid, or the Qibli Masjid, the Dome of the Rock, and we think that that is it. Whereas the entire compound, which is 37 acres of land, 135,000 square meters of land, is what is the entire masjid which Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam had constructed, and therefore it all remains part of the masjid. So Sulaiman alayhi salam remained in this glass case while the jinnat continued to construct, and when the construction was completed, the staff on which he had been leaning fell down because it had been eaten by worms. And it was only at that time everyone became aware of his death. And this way the jinn realized that the level of their knowledge of the unseen, even the humans who believe that jinn had knowledge of the unseen, realized that they knew nothing. If they knew the unseen, then why did they continue working and completing this task? Allah Rabbul Izzah says, فَلَمَّا قَضَيْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَوْتَ. And when we decreed death upon him, مَا دَلَّهُمْ عَلَى مَوْتِهِ. Nothing showed them, the jinn, that he had died. إِلَّا دَابَّةُ الْأَرْضِ تَأْكُلُ مِنْ سَأَتَهُ. Except a worm that had kept gnawing at his staff. فَلَمَّا خَرَّ. Then when he fell down, تَبَيَّنَتِ الْجِنُّ. The jinn realized, أَلَّوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ الْغَيْبَ. Had they known the unseen, مَا لَبِثُوا فِي الْعَذَابِ الْمُهِينَ. They would not have remained in the humiliating suffering. Had they know the unseen, they would not have remained in that continuous subjugating. So this subjugation of the jinn was not due to the achievement of Sayyidina Sulaiman. It was nothing but the grace of Allah. If Allah wills, he can cause a corpse to remain standing. And more than that, the bounties that were bestowed upon Sulaiman al-Islam during his lifetime were complete in the sense that they continued to a necessary extent after his death. So there is a number of important points that we can draw from this in terms of the reference to Baytul Muqaddas that was complete, finished. Allah Rabbul Izzah, you know, the fact that death can come at any time. And that is the most astounding lesson from this. We always think that we are involved in so many great activities that we can't leave this world now. We cannot, you know, we need to complete what we're doing. But how sudden death can strike us is evident from the fact that Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam was building a great masjid that is to remain for a number of years on the face of this earth. And yet Allah does not allow him to complete that before taking his soul away. Have you ever considered that? You think about that. Allah did not allow it to come to the point that he completes the task and then. So there's no such thing as an untimely death. People say, you know, the person died prematurely, a very untimely death. It came at an unexpected time. There's nothing like that. Death has its appointed time, and there can be no task that is more important than death. When it strikes, it will strike you in such a way that it will catch you by surprise. Sayyidina Sulaiman al-Islam was not spared from this, and the completion of the great task of building Masjid al-Aqsa was done in his absence. And that in itself is a sign to us that no person is indispensable. The work will continue even after you. You do not have to be there for it to continue. Allah will make the arrangements for it. Allah give us the understanding.